Hi there, folks, and welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and I'm coming to you from New Zealand on a wintry morning. And with me today in Southern California in a summery morning, or summery, not morning, afternoon, I have John and Joni Stahl. So it's really nice to have you both good friends of mine and Holly, and to have you both together for doing a show with me today. So welcome.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. This is a first for him.
Yeah, I think you've been on the A Minute to Midnight show like maybe once, probably 10 years ago nearly, John.
<That's right.
laughs> Yeah, that was a long time ago. But here I am, a mushroom among the titans.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Oh, actually, yeah, we did. I think we did something when I was in California with you in 2020 in the middle of COVID as well.
That's right.
Yeah, we all did something. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great to hook up once again.
Yes, absolutely. So there's certainly interesting things going on around us in the world, and it's pretty uncertain and unsettling times in many ways. I'm finding, and I'm hearing that from other people too, it's like things have sort of shifted. Things feel different, and, you know, it's almost like not out of control, because we know God's in control, but it's out of our control what's going on largely. And that's what I see. And, you know, it's important that we have hope and realize that God is in control no matter what the circumstances around us are.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, you really said it perfectly, because you know, if we've spent any time in the Bible and have been around as long as we have, then we recognize the times that we're living in. And understanding it, to me, has been the biggest thing for me this year that really came to the surface, that God really pointed out about understanding. And when we read our Bibles, I think those of us who've been reading them for so long, we read all these words and we come across, you know, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all these things. But I kept hearing the Lord in my spirit, like him with really pushing to the forefront understanding. When you can have knowledge but not have understanding. But when you're understanding him and you're understanding the plan and you're understanding what you're seeing in geopolitical landscapes, you know who's in control, because you're seeing it line up with things that we've read in the Bible. And they are things that are out of control. And, you know, in all honesty, I took some time off, Tony, to just get away with the Lord. You know, I was looking at so much stuff all the time, like every minute thing that was going on. And I started to really draw near to the Lord. And I mean, I'm filled up all the time. It's not like I need to be on it. You know what I'm saying? Like every time something blows up in the Middle East or something Trump has just said. And, you know, the main focus is that God wants us to be focused on him. He wants us to understand, you know, in Jeremiah 9, I think it starts at 23, but it says, "Let not the rich man glory in his riches, and neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and neither let the wise man glory in his wisdom." I think it goes in that order. "But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who exercises loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment in the earth, for in these do I delight in, saith the Lord." And so when we concentrate on him above all things, we really create a connection with God that we need right now during these times. And yeah, it is a power. We don't have power over these things.
Well, from an end times perspective, there has been a lot of elements coming together that we've heard about that are going to happen, that we could never see in the present at that, like earlier in my youth, we would talk about the end times as being something that's going to happen in the future. And we would look for signs along the way for those things to happen. And some of them were evident, but today, clearly, there are more and more elements that point to an end times
Absolutely.
That is not only is it undeniable, it's unavoidable that we will participate in some form in the end times action, and that to be prepared to stand your ground, but also be prepared to teach others and be prepared to invite people to the party, to be ready for the end times. Whatever that looks like, it looks more like it's happening right now.
So I agree.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, you know, like for instance, we were talking about stuff you can't control, right? So let's just kind of grab a subject, the AI data centers,
yeah.
Okay? Nowadays, everybody is very more and more so understanding. There's knowledge of it, but they're understanding because they're paying attention. And the closer we get to the end of things, notice people are starting to really come alive. They're really starting to become savvy and understanding. And I remember when Trump first entered into office, he said that he was proud to introduce Operation Stargate and that he wanted to carpet the entire United States with AI data centers. Right now, there are currently 5,000 AI data centers, one in northern Arizona. I think it's either completely done or should soon be done. I think it's done. You can fit 5 or 15, something like that, Disneylands in it. These are mega centers, and they are using up to 128, sometimes 130 trillion gallons of water a year without being billed for it. They're sucking all the water out of the ground. I mean, there's going to be a real big problem. Look at what's happening with Glen Canyon Dam, with Hoover Dam. Look at Central California. I mean, there's been such a drought. There was a drought that was going on for a long time. Then we had this deluge of rain, but we're back into a drought. Lake Mead, Lake Powell, these are major water sources.
Yeah, they're reaching record lows or elevations in Hoover Dam that it's going to start to affect the upstream and the downstream folks that rely on water, California, Arizona, Nevada. And the picture that you get from data centers is we absolutely have to have these because we can't go forward in our future without them. But they are taking away personal identity and personal freedoms that we have never experienced before.
Not to mention, they're going to start, it was just announced, I don't know, a week ago or something, maybe not to every household in the United States, but there are 5,000, as we know in current count, AI data centers, and they are absolutely enormous. Like, I mean, it makes those Amazon centers that look like they're like 5 miles long, and they're huge.
Well, one just kind of burned down. Is the size of the warehouse that just burned down in
Monterey Park
that's still smoldering was a huge distribution center for produce and food. The data centers are a central hub for all the information that's coming into them. And it makes a big difference in how you situate yourself and how you align yourself or not if you're going to participate in the benefits and the downsides.
But there's also ecological damage, obviously, that's being done because I was listening to she was a PhD. I'm sorry, I do not have her name. But she was part of a subcommittee who did research on the water because it takes all this water, 128 to 130 trillion gallons a year to cool off these, I don't even know what they're called, to cool it off. I'll just leave it there. And so they've been doing this because you see, since 2018, they've been building them. So long before Trump even said, I'm so excited to introduce Operation Stargate, there was a lot being built all over the place. There was a lot of people that were saying, oh, there's one here, you know, Indiana, all these different places. In some states, there's, you know, over 300 of them. 200, 400 in every single state. It doesn't matter, in every single state, and they're still building them. So anyways, what this woman said, as a PhD, as a scientist, she took this to task, meaning the problem with the water, because they got busted for using water and so-called, you know, not letting anybody know as if the government didn't know. But when they got found out, the AI data centers got found out, they were found out that they were using all this water, then there was an outcry. And the people started doing town cries, you know, going to town hall and screaming mad about it because everybody's water was turning brown, turning orange. It was just horrific. And so they came back saying, oh, no, 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 no. We send most of the water through the water reclamation plants, and the rest we just release back out into the wild, back out into the earth. Well, her report came back, and I don't have the scientific language, Tony, but in my layman's terms, she said, she broke down scientific language, what was in the water. She said, first of all, the water that is used to cool those, I wish I had the word, she said, it contaminates the water, and it is contaminated, and she named two or three different, I don't know, poisons, we'll call it right now. And she said that the water reclamation plants cannot rid out of the drinking water. She said, and therefore the rest of the water that they claim is going out into the earth to replenish it is going to be absolutely catastrophic to the ecosystem, birds, animals, plants, fish, and that you cannot cleanse it out of the water. And once it goes into the soil, it will absolutely poison it. Not to mention, people are making videos all the time saying they are doing eminent domain on our houses. People who have owned their beautiful homes are all being told, you're leaving, you're going. And they're being kicked out of their houses. One woman said, there's at least 100 homes. This is in Georgia. She said, there's at least 100 homes that they're kicking us out of, and because they want to run a line through their properties. So, I mean, this is just insanity, what's happening.
The question I have for you, Tony, is where is the danger zone as a believer that we need to be on the lookout for? In other words, how long do we go along, or when do we break ranks and say enough is enough?
Well, that's a tricky one. I think we're all going to have to weigh that up. See, one of the things that's a big problem I notice when it comes to the data centers is that the government line is coming from the Trump administration and so on. This is so important. You know, we've got to beat China. We've got to be the leaders in the world. We've got to, you know, everything under the sun. And basically you've got these billionaires, Larry Fink and, you know, all of these type of people behind all of this. And it's being billed as being unpatriotic if you don't want these data centers. And so, well, here's just an example. I'll just there's a guy called, I'll just have a look at my notes. Hang on. Neville Ray Singham, who's a Marxist businessman. This was an article in Fox that I saw a few days ago. And the first article, you know, they put it up and it was written one way. And then a few hours later, they softened it, I think, and changed it because maybe there was a bit of an outcry because it looked like they were slamming people as unpatriotic if you didn't support these massive AI developments and data centers. So anyway, this guy Singham is part of a party, what's it called? The Party for Socialism and Liberation. And the Southern District of New York is investigating. There's a grand jury investigation of the finances of the Singham's network. So this Neville Singham guy has been funding, bankrolling a lot of the protests and, you know, against the data centers and things. And so, in fact, one of them, for example, is close to you, Los Angeles. The chapter, the Los Angeles chapter, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, they organized like town hall events and petitions and all sorts of stuff. And they were able to successfully get shut down. There had an organization, part of that they organized was called No Data Centers SGV Coalition. And so they were able to get all this public outcry and backlash, this coalition, which was funded and bankrolled by this Singham guy. And so then they were able to get it so that it's a first for California, no data centers in Monterey Park. So they got that, you know, passed. And so what is happening then is you get the right-wing conservatives saying, oh, wait a minute, these protests are being organized by Marxist, socialist dissenters. So therefore, that's bad, you know. And so that's how it's being spun. And I can see they'll do that more so that it becomes like you're a non-patriotic, you're being funded by the Chinese or something if you start protesting against the data centers. So therefore, they shut down people's voices. Because for the most part, most people have not been listened to in even these public meetings and all that. They still go ahead with the data centers anyway. So if they can make it seem like, you know, you're a political dissident if you disagree with the progress in AI and these data centers, then they can target, you know, people. And I think that's part of the playbook. Because there are huge concerns, like you mentioned, with the water and the environment and things like that. So back to John's question, then as Christians, where do we fit in with this and how far do we go? Because we can't stop the book of Revelation. I mean, Revelation chapter 13 and the mark of the beast, it's coming whether we want it or not. So what we can, though, is decide as individuals how far do we persist with going along with the system and what do we do to get ourselves outside of it and to resist it, because it's like the slow frog in the pot scenario. It happens, you know, while it's going slowly, you don't realize it necessarily, and then it's too late to stop it. And I think we're already at that point. So now we have to decide as individuals, you know, how far are we going to go with it?
I think, you know, back to full circle of what you said, there's God is in control, but there's other things that we have no control over, right? And you can't stop the book of Revelation. And really, why the thought would be like, why would you even want to? Even though, I mean, I could say some things, maybe I'll save it for later, but they're in full force right now. A woman in Texas 2 months ago, lovely looking woman, she didn't look like some nut. She probably looked like she was in her 50s, had a nice home. You could tell she had a nice home, married, intelligent. And maybe you remember this story. She was on Facebook and she's being interviewed at this point. And she said, well, I started to become concerned because an AI data center was built near us. And it was causing us to lose a lot of the water was diminishing our water table. Because it's not just the water that we drink, it's sucking up the water from under the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to talk about ranchers in just a second. Well, she posted something and she even read what she posted on Facebook. And it went something to this effect, you know, that I just went to a town hall meeting. This is what was spoken. This is what I think and believe. And it was very well worded and put on Facebook. Within about 4 hours or so later, I don't know, just hours later, the police knocked at her door and they arrested her and they kept her overnight. She said, I was traumatized. They told her flat out, we don't want you talking about the AI data centers. Ranchers right now are screaming. They are making videos left and right that are saying, we have wells, you know, in Texas, in Nebraska, in Oklahoma, all these states. They're saying, our wells are dried up.
Yeah.
We don't have water to water our crops. We have cattle. And one guy said, listen, and he put a microphone near the hole. There was a hole in the ground. He says, this is where we pump our water to feed our cattle. And all you heard was gurgling. And then he said, and it smells like sulfur. This is one cattle rancher. Mm. And there are many, many more. You're looking at the ground. Like I think a recent report was in Arizona. They are going, I'm not going to, you know, be too froggy on this and say they're going to run out completely out of water. But there are some very real concerns. Trump himself made a statement about running out of water. Even Obama did. He said, you're going to run out of water at this rate. You know what's really interesting? China did something. I'm not trying to give kudos to China, but in a way they kind of get kudos, because if you're going to have a data center, they put everything that needs to be cooled, they dropped it into the ocean to be cooled. See, there's other things that you could do to cool it. There's people were investigating other ways that you can do it, which I won't even get into that. So you can't stop this. Another thing too is you're dealing with society now uses AI every. I don't care if you're a student, a kid, a mom, a dad, an executive, whoever you are, it is being used now. People are in it. You're not going to pull it back. People, it's not going to go back. Mm. So what does that look like? Now let's go back to our to be Christians. What part do we individually play?
Well, here's the danger. As we get so comfortable with the ease in which information can be accessed, that we become reliant on it to the point that now we're using it every day for everything. And I can see how, like, even there's a program Gemini where you can ask Gemini, and Gemini,
it's an AI engine.
It's an AI engine. And it does the work for you, and it makes us less dependent on our own skills, but just relying on the skills of and the information in that application. And the danger of that is, what happens if all of your information is cut off? At some point, you just have somebody turn the switch off. Now you don't have an internet, you don't have information. And really, there's a balance between dependency on information and self-reliance.
You know, and I want to take this all the way back to the garden, because what was Satan's thing? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat thereof, right? You will not die. But yet they did die. They died spiritually. And so knowledge is everything. And so what happens with knowledge without understanding is you become little gods. The main thing Satan wants to lie to everybody about is you can be your own God. That's still on the table. That wasn't just an Adam and Eve issue. The day, you know, your eyes will be open and you'll become like gods. Well, that's the same thing. You know, there's a flip side to both things of God and Satan. When we become born again, we receive that spirit of witness by the Holy Spirit. He opens our eyes. We're made by revelation of the Spirit to see our sins and to see spiritually. I don't mean things manifesting before us, but you are able to be saved because you're able to see how the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see. We don't have that spiritual blindness anymore. But the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, right? First Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's Second Corinthians chapter 4. But anyways, so look at Satan's ultimate tree of knowledge, that this is such epic knowledge. And everybody's everybody's hand is a device that makes you like your own God. You don't need God. You don't need to study anymore. You don't need to do anything. You just ask some questions, you know. And I know that, you know, people are able to, you know, notice stuff like, well, that looks like a AI. But overall, what is the push? Satan's push is knowledge. To be full of knowledge, you're king. You know that saying, knowledge is king? But if you have knowledge without understanding of who the Most High God is, that he is knowledge and understanding himself. And so Satan, in a big kind of wholesale waves of casting a big net over all humanity with this AI, is everybody really, really, in essence, becomes like little gods.
And adding to that, I can also see a point that you made there about everyone becomes so used to having it. See, I think it's another part of the frog in the pot syndrome, where they're getting everyone so conditioned to need it. And then when they move it all over to, right, you have to have a verified ID, and it becomes a digital ID, and it becomes a biometric ID, and so on, that you can't participate unless you have that. People are going to be so used to this technology and needing it that most people are just going to continue to go along that path with it, no matter what regulation and no matter what the consequences are for it, because everyone's doing it and using it. And I'm surprised, really, in some ways, at the use that Christians are making and happy, glowing about it with a lot of these technologies, which I can see are becoming rapidly part of the whole beast. And then eventually for Revelation 13, you can't buy or sell without a mark. So by then, it's going to be harder and harder for people to get themselves to not want to be part of the system, and rapidly it'll happen that they will make it so that you can't participate, even have the internet probably before too long, unless you're part of the system with the verified biometric ID, and then it gets tied in with social credit scores and digital currency and all of those things, and so it becomes a slippery slope that's hard to get off.
Yeah, and that takes you back to, if you're not part of the system, you can't participate in the system, which it's going to make you depend on the system for everything you need. Mm-hmm. Food, transportation, housing, all of these things. And if you're not self-reliant, if you don't have a plan, and that's your only out, you're going to, a hungry family is a desperate family. And you're going to do whatever it takes to eat, to survive. And if you're not self-reliant, which I think that's a real important part of our process as we go towards the end of time, end of days, is as long as we're here, we should be prepared and self-reliant.
It's important, again, to have understanding of everything. But the greater understanding is to connect yourself and concentrate on the Lord. God wants us to have understanding. It's important. Everybody quotes, the tribe of Issachar, who had the understanding of their times, so that Israel may know what they ought to do, and their brethren were attentive unto them. Prayer is the greatest thing that has ever been bestowed upon us after being given eternal life. Prayer is direct connection with God, and Satan can't do anything about it. Satan is noisy. He's going to keep your mind focused on what's the next thing, what's the next thing. Everything is connected to a central intelligence. If you can kind of see it, it's kind of, it's actually creepy, because everybody, their minds are controlled really by this new AI power. Before, we had Google, right? Like, just look it up on Google. Just, do a search, Google it, right? And in that way, we're like, wow, knowledge is at our fingertips. But this AI takes it even further. And not to mention, everything is now being connected to AI. Businesses, mm-hmm. corporations, banks, everything you do business with has some form of AI connection in it. So if you're going to try to live outside of a system, this is sure fast tracking on greased lightning trail system.
It may be worth this may be for another show, but I have been in retail for a long time, and worked with a big box, and have watched the electronics and the data entry, all of these things, the point of sale, transition energy transition off grid to fuel cell to cashless. You even have to pay a fee in some places to use cash, and not to mention what the fee is with an ATM. But all of this is leading us into a place where we're going to have to decide, are we going to serve God or the world?
And what does that look like, though? Because it's fast-tracking on us really so much, right? Like, how are you going to, like, if something happens overnight where, like, just to say, the other day, Marco Rubio was saying, you know, this is a wonderful thing, the biometric ID, and he's saying all these wonderful key points that are going to make life so much easier for everybody. But, you know, we all see what's really happening, and it is absolute preparation for that man of sin who will be revealed one day soon. I mean, it could be somebody we see and already, but he has to be revealed to us. He hasn't been revealed yet. But I think the main point I would like to, I personally, as a believer, and I think you would agree, is be understanding of the times that you're living in. You know, be aware of what's happening. But remember, there's things that are not written in the Bible. God didn't write everything in the Bible. Not everything is written in prophecy. There's things that we saw that came like in 2021, right? Thing that happened. It took many lives. There are so many things, and God's not going to tell us everything. He doesn't want to tell us everything. There are things that we're going to experience. I believe that we are. I mean, this is just my own personal thought, that we are going to experience some very hard things, some very difficult things that are going to make us have to make some choices. But we have to remember that God's power is more than commensurate with Satan's power. God is already, you know, I want to bring this up. It's an Old Testament thing. When the children of Israel were traveling through the desert, the ark was always 3 days ahead of them. They traveled 3 days behind the ark. They followed the ark. And the presence of God was in that ark and the tablets of stone, the law. And God, I see that as him wanting to understand that he's way ahead of everything. He says he knows the end from the beginning. And since he's the one that knows the end from the beginning, then it's important for us to cleave to God and say, I'm going with you. Whatever that looks like, whatever you want us to do, give us wisdom to know what your plan is for our life. And, you know, we serve a supernatural God. We haven't even seen anything yet. And the reason why is because God really doesn't have to do, he doesn't have to part seas right now or he doesn't have to do these great things. But those things are coming. We read about it in Revelation when we read about the 21 judgments. When we read about those things, our minds really can't psychologically comprehend what it means when a giant mountain slams into this waters and makes all the waters turn into blood, or wormwood, you know, it slams into the ocean, everything in the sea dies. Or how about this? A third of the sunlight will be taken away. That's 5 hours without sunlight a day. What happens with that? Everything goes into putrefaction. Everything starts to rot. There's nothing that grows anymore. It is a death spiral. I mean, that's just to name a few things. Not to mention the bottomless pit, the bottomless pit being opened up and the horde of those locust spirits coming out and people wanting to die, not being able. You know, we're going to see there's going to be things that are going to happen, because really ultimate what God is doing is he's going to start with creation. He starts an order of creation. He always starts an order of creation. Like if you read Psalm 36, there's 24 times he talks about the mercy of the Lord enduring forever. And he starts with heaven and all the way down to the earth. Same is it with Psalm 148. And so when you look at how he starts to deal with the judgments, it always begins in the order of creation, things coming down from the sky, then the waters turning to blood, and then there's earthquakes. And so he's dealing with the earth and he's expelling Satan's power out of it. So there's things God is not going to write in the Bible because he doesn't. I look at it like this. I'm not trying to speak for God. It's not, he sees it as something that's not necessary for us to know. Knowledge is dangerous. Now he's given us his word. It's incumbent upon each one of us to read it and to believe it. Because that's what he's asking us to do. He says 96 times I counted it, and no, I didn't use Google. In the book of John, it's either 94 or 96 times the word believe, believed, and believing are in one book. God's just asking us to believe him. That's the highest honor you will give God, that you believe him. That's why Abraham became the friend, not a friend, but the friend of God, because he believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Well, we want to be the friends of God. And so we are going to, each one of us, it depends on your will, your heart, your desire, not just having knowledge, but understand the God that you're serving, because he knows you. He knows you by name, and he's going to take care of us one way or another.
That's assurance that we don't need insurance, but we have assurance that he is faithful to see us through any circumstance.
Well, it says if you have no faith, he is faithful still. He's not able to deny himself. So, you know, there's sometimes things are going to get pretty hard where people will lose faith, but it doesn't mean they stop loving God. Sometimes people can get to the place that they're so at a bottom and they're feeling destroyed and they say, I don't have any faith left. But he says, but I'm faithful still. I'm not able to deny myself. He's faith itself. And so we haven't even begun to see the power of the living God on the behalf of us as children. You think he left us, he waited all this time to bring us this, I believe, this last generation, so that we like get ground down and we're running for our lives in the fields away from the Antichrist? I believe that there's so many things he didn't write because he's going to surprise and shock the devil what he's going to do for us. I absolutely believe it.
Amen.
So yeah, our hope and our faith has to be in God and Christ, not, for example, in governments and so forth, and people that are still putting their faith in the government and politicians and so on. Really, it's, well, I just, on that, look at what happened with Epstein and the Epstein files. A big fat nothing, you know. We know there's all of these people that have been involved in the worst possible things, and they're in all kinds of positions of power, and those are the people that are running our world and the people that you're voting into government and so forth. And a big fat nothing has happened. They're still walking around. They're not going to jail. They're not being, justice isn't happening. So it's like those are the people that are writing your laws. Those are the people that are standing up and making their speeches in front of podiums. It's time we realize they aren't coming to your rescue. The government isn't going to rescue you. The government is, and politicians are actually not your saviors. The only savior we have is Jesus, and we need to get guidance about how to negotiate the times. I mean, individually, it's going to have to come to us as individuals. How does God want us to do it? And it'll look different from each person, but I think the time is rapidly coming where we have to start making some hard decisions.
Most definitely. I think those decisions need to be started now. I believe that things just don't happen overnight. Some things do, but things gradually happen, and I see a grace in that. I think that we, as a people in the United States especially, we've had it good for so long. Some people might disagree because of hardships in life, but I'm not talking about personal hardships. I'm talking about an overall nation, which I have come to term it as the grand experiment of God, a nation that was given the ultimate freedom of everything, speech, religion, go wherever you want, do whatever you want. And little by little, our nation started to be really, became the daughter of Babylon. I mean, I believe it's the woman that rides the beast. I absolutely believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon. Some people would disagree with that, but everybody has a right to believe what they want. But You know, I was really personally, like, I was pretty blown away when Trump said, I'm the only person in 3,000 years, this was a few months ago, that has brought peace to the Middle East, right, with the Abraham Accords. And there was all this, look, everybody was in this, like, awe, worship. Like, look at, no one has ever done this before. Look at all these people from other nations, all these Middle Eastern nations, they signed on to the Abraham Accords. And there was this professional picture that was made of all these, you know, prime ministers of the Middle East, and Trump is standing in the middle of it. And you know what? As soon as that happened, within days, it fell apart. Next thing you know, he was blowing up Iran. And, you know, the Iranian people were really like, finally, we're free. Then he tells everybody, okay, everybody, go take your government back. And it's like, you're going to put that on the backs of the people? These people have been oppressed for decades after decades after decades and lived in fear. And now you're going to blow up all of their leaders and you're going to blow everything up. And then you're going to say, okay, now go get your government. And that didn't work. 50,000 people died trying to stand up to take back their government. In the meantime, 13 of our bases were blown up. I mean, there's been so much stuff going on. The Strait of Hormuz, it was open before, and now the Strait of Hormuz is closed. And now they are levying a fee for, I think it's seven ships a day that come through there. I don't know what's coming through right now, but now they're set to make something like $63 billion a year in fees to come through. I mean, in many ways, the Iranians came out on top better than they were before. You know, I mean, I don't know. I won't get to go down that road too much.
Yeah. The sense is, again, we go back to, we are Christians. We want to be faithful to the Lord, and we want God to guide us through these times. And to the extent that we can be a blessing to our friends and family, and an example of what righteousness looks like, then let's put on the armor of God and proceed ahead.
Right, because we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you know, we are here. There's a reason we're here. All of us are here. You know, we may not see eye to eye on many things, but I think it's going to come down to a point, at least the way I feel. It's like I've let go of a lot of things, like, you know, personal, internal, mental debate in my mind. Like, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that. All I'm seeing now is, the time of Jesus Christ, the second coming, is so soon. It's coming soon. We know that there's supposed to be 7 years, and we know all this. I don't want to even go into really any kind of eschatology, because people have so many various things. But I think that we could all agree that times are going to get stranger and weirder that we've never walked through before. Right? So we don't know what to think is next. I mean, we have Revelation 13, you know, but if you stay in prayer, and I know this to be true, when you get really quiet with the Lord, you start to really hear him. You really start to get a sense of things. My spirit seems to become more quickened and sharper. And I could hear him. Now, I'm not saying audibly, but it's like when he moves inside of us, you really don't need to hear an audible voice. You know, this is the way, walk ye in it. You don't need to hear him audibly say that. It goes beyond that. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is in each one of us. We are the eternal temple of the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest. He is the down payment. He is the market in us. And he's going to make sure every one of us make it through. And he's going to help us along the way. And like John said, and maybe it might sound so simple to a lot of people, you know, it's like, I know, for lack of a better term, grow where you're planted, you know, serve people around you, you know, be the hands and feet of Jesus. I think that we've gotten so into, you know, knowledge and knowing all these doctrines, and you can describe it and say it and everything. But at the end of the day, How's that going to help your starving neighbor? How's that going to help anything? You know what? I'll tell you what helps: the love of God. When you're filled with the love of God, pray for the love of God to fill you, because you know what? That's the greatest power you will ever, ever walk in, is the love of God. It's not a feeling, it's a force of power, and it makes you brave and it makes you strong, and it is Him living and moving in your life in this world. And that's, I believe, it's not about changing anything, but in a way we will change people's lives around us during this time.
And be ready to be available at all times.
Definitely.
Able to answer for the faith that you have. Able to give people the answer as to what you believe and why you believe it, and to bring as many people to the knowledge of Christ as possible.
Absolutely. Yep. So you put out regular podcasts. Where can people find you, Joni and John?
Joni Stahl's Field Notes, and we are happy to be here. Thank you for having us on, Tony. It's been a privilege and an honor to be with you again. And I just really applaud your consistency and your dedication
Definitely.
To the truth. And I want to really thank you for your help and your ministry for us. And we look forward to seeing you many, many more times in the future.
Sounds good. Now, hopefully we can do another one in a few weeks' time and have Holly on board and do it with the four of us. That'd be a great discussion.
You know, I think it's important to have these discussions. They're not really discussions. You know, I think in the book of Acts, and you know, you read about how there were no buildings that they went to. I mean, if they found a tree, they sat underneath it. They knelt by the river, then prayed. They went up in the hills. They found places that they can sit down, they can talk about the Lord. And, you know, I think that we become so intellectualized so much of our walk that we became mechanical and robotic. And just, I mean, I think I've never seen meaner Christians these days that they're just mean, because they're so like, there's just this, they're like sandpaper to each other. But I believe that if your heart is towards the Lord, then He has a lot that He can use you. He can use your life. You can be, it says, but we have these earthen vessels that the excellency of God's power may be of Him and not of us. So God wants to display His power through you, but we got to get out of His way. We got to stop trying to do things. We need to let go. We need to lean into Christ and let Him be God in our lives. Give Him room to move. So I think that's probably the final word.
I think probably my last thing to add to that would be, I've heard people say quite a number of times, the world's just angrier. People are angrier. And you see it, you know, people's behavior is more aggressive and crazier. And I think it's just like, well, let's not be like those people. Let's not be ones that love grows cold, and let's try not to become angry people ourselves, no matter what we're seeing out there. So that'd probably be my last thought. So it's been really great to have this discussion, and thank you so much for both taking the time out to be with me today. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us on. We'll talk later.
All right. Cheers. Thank you. And folks, please remember to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, and also like and share our videos. It's much appreciated. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. If you're able to donate to us, that's always very much appreciated. And you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. So God bless, and God willing, we will be back with another episode in a few days' time.